Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 5, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Thai gang member arrested over alleged $16 million crypto fraud. Cryptocurrency has long-term potential, says Apple exec. NSA reportedly developing quantum-resistant crypto. K-pop music giant SM Entertainment is planning its own cryptocurrency. Binance launches dollar-backed crypto stablecoin with NYDFS blessing. Paxful plans to bring 20 crypto ATMs to Colombia. Mark Mobius argues Bitcoin should be backed by gold to have any value. Binance Labs leads $5.7 million Series A for blockchain maker DAPEX. U.S. Energy Department funds trial of Factum blockchain to secure power grid. Paxos launches gold-backed cryptocurrency. A Bitcoin treasure hunt is coming to college campuses this fall. Bitcoin market turns indecisive after price rally stalls around $10,600. VanBex sells IP amid criminal probe into $22 million ICO. Now let's get started. Thai gang member arrested over alleged $16 million crypto fraud. A Thai man has been arrested for his alleged involvement in a crypto crime ring that fleeced investors for 500 million baht, over $16 million. 48-year-old Manajamuing was arrested as part of an operation to apprehend the criminals behind a scheme that encouraged people to invest in cryptocurrencies, but after providing initial returns, disappeared with the money and could not be contacted, Bangkok Post reports on Wednesday. Police Major General Jirafop Furide, commander of the Crime Suppression Division, said in the report that the group comprised three Thai nationals and four Vietnamese. Police are still seeking two of the Thai members, while the Vietnamese are said to have left the country. Mana reportedly dubbed himself the cryptocurrency wizard and is said to have spent some of investors' money on land purchases. Victims of the scheme came from possibly more than 10 Asian nations, including South Korea and Vietnam, the report indicates. Cryptocurrency has long-term potential, says Apple exec. Apple is watching cryptocurrency, according to an executive at the tech giant. Apple Pay Vice President Jennifer Bailey, talking to CNN at a private event in San Francisco, said, "We think it's interesting. We think it has interesting long-term potential." Bailey did not elucidate about the possible uses of the technology Apple might pursue. She had been talking about the future of payments at the CNN event. With Facebook planning to launch its Libra stablecoin next year, it would be surprising indeed if Apple were not watching crypto. But Bailey's comments may come as confirmation that more might be going behind the scenes at Apple's Cupertino HQ. In February, Apple submitted a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) that contained rare details about the computing giant's interest in blockchain tech. The document indicated that Apple was involved in the drafting of blockchain guidelines for the Responsible Business Alliance's Responsible Minerals Initiative and had been working with the RBA's blockchain team. Elsewhere in the CNN report, Bailey said that in launching Apple Pay, the firm has made it harder for users to tip. The firm is looking at the problem, she indicated. The exec also explained why the company had recently suggested users of the new Apple Card should keep it away from other credit cards, as well as leather and denim. "We want it always to look perfect," she said. NSA reportedly developing quantum-resistant crypto. Until now, the National Security Agency, NSA, has restricted its activities in the crypto space, as far as we know, to tracking Bitcoin users, but now the agency may be working to develop its own. According to a tweet from Bloomberg cybersecurity reporter William Turton, the director of the NSA's Cybersecurity Directorate, Ann Neuberger, said at the 10th Annual Billington Cybersecurity Summit in Washington, D.C. that her agency is developing a quantum-resistant crypto. While the reason for the NSA carrying out such work isn't clear, quantum computing has the potential to be able to make current blockchain technology redundant. In a previous report, CoinDesk looked at how, although still in its infancy, quantum computing could one day be able to crack much of the cryptography that underlies how data, including cryptocurrency private keys, passes through the internet. It should be noted that Neuberger's comment may indicate that the NSA is working on a cryptography technology, not a cryptocurrency, with the twin meanings of the term crypto. The NSA's new cybersecurity directorate was announced in July and is charged with preventing and eradicating threats to national security systems and the defense industrial base, according to the agency. It's expected to start its activities on October 1. Neuberger led the NSA's Russia small group before moving to take up the reins at the new cybersecurity division. According to classified documents obtained by The Intercept in 2018 from U.S. whistleblower Edward Snowden, the NSA has made Bitcoin surveillance a top priority. One NSA memo suggested the agency had been collecting private information such as Bitcoin user passwords, internet activity, and device identifiers. K-pop music giant SM Entertainment is planning its own cryptocurrency. SM Entertainment, one of Korea's top three pop talent agencies, is planning to build its own blockchain network with a native cryptocurrency as it battles a shareholder revolt and a falling stock price. Ju Sang-sik, director of the company's technology arm, CTAI Labs, made the announcement at the Upbit Developer Conference in Incheon on September 4, according to a report from local media outlet IT Chosen. Ju said the company is aiming to develop a blockchain network that would allow fans to be more engaged with the entertainment ecosystem by investing in artists' work through cryptocurrencies. The director provided few specifics about the technology, but said the firm aims to make use of the concepts of both public and private blockchains and is currently talking to potential partners to build the network. The entertainment business as it stands utilizes inefficient settlement and payment systems issues that blockchain could help address, Ju said. SM Entertainment is a force in the K-pop world, which is becoming one of Korea's most important exports. The company was founded in 1995 by Lee Soo-man, sometimes called the President of Culture. Its acts include Girls' Generation, EXO and Red Velvet. SM Entertainment is listed on the Korean Stock Exchange and has a market capitalization of roughly $600 million. The firm undertook a management reshuffle recently, as shareholders raised concerns about its finances and some of its business decisions. Its stock price has dropped 43% since last November. SM Entertainment is not the first company to have proposed the use of blockchain tech in the K-pop industry. In late 2018, a platform called KoFun was launched, aimed to allow K-pop-related crypto transactions on a blockchain. The plan was to create coins for individuals' acts, such as a BTS coin. Binance launches dollar-backed crypto stablecoin with NYDFS blessing. Crypto exchange Binance is launching a dollar-backed stablecoin in the U.S. Moreover, the new Binance USD, BUSD, has received the blessing of the New York Department of Financial Services, NYDFS. The exchange announced Thursday that NYDFS had approved the new offering, which Binance is launching in partnership with the Paxos Trust Company. The Binance stablecoin will be backed by U.S. dollars on a 1-to-1 ratio, according to a press release. The offering joins the Paxos standard and the Gemini dollar as an NYDFS-approved stablecoin. At launch, verified Paxos customers will be able to directly purchase BUSD tokens through the company's wallet using either US dollars or Pax, its own stablecoin. Binance users will likewise be able to trade BUSD for Bitcoin, Binance Coin or XRP. The exchange previously announced its intention to issue stablecoins worldwide as part of its Venus project. Binance has already issued stablecoins pegged to Bitcoin, BTCB, and the British pound, BGBP. In a statement, Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao, CZ, said, "We hope to unlock more financial services for the greater blockchain ecosystem through the issuance of BUSD, including more use cases and utility through the power of stable digital assets. Not the first, Binance USD is only the latest stablecoin whose reserves are being held by Paxos. The company, which was the first crypto firm to receive a trust charter from NYDFS in 2015 as the ITBIT Trust Company, now custodies the dollar reserves for its own Paxos standard stablecoin and Huobi's HUSD token. According to the company, Paxos will act as both the custodian and the issuer for BUSD, and will regularly audit the dollar holdings. Paxos co-founder Rich Tao said in a statement that BUSD would be a vital step towards long-term stability in global crypto markets. He added that Paxos stablecoin as a service offering allowed Binance to customize the new product for its users. Paxos is leading the digital trust space and we are excited to work with them in developing our native stablecoin, CZ said. Paxful plans to bring 20 crypto ATMs to Colombia. A partnership between two cryptocurrency firms could bring 20 new Bitcoin ATMs to cities around Colombia. The Bitcoin exchange, Paxful, and crypto ATM company, CoinLogic, announced the partnership September 5. By integrating the Paxful kiosk feature with CoinLogic hardware, users will be able to purchase BTC using cash, credit and online debit transfers. According to Coinatemradar.com, Colombia already boasts 46 Bitcoin ATMs, nearly triple the number of all the other terminals located in South America. Further, Paxful conducted a survey of 1,000 random Colombian internet users, and found that nearly 80% of Colombians are open to investing in cryptocurrencies. There are a number of concerns, however. Colombian regulators have thus far exhibited a hardline stance against cryptocurrencies. In 2017, Colombia's central bank, Banco de la República, decreed crypto does not represent legal tender, while the Superintendencia Financiera (SF) said financial institutions are not authorized to invest, broker, or manage virtual currencies. Despite these dictates, crypto exchange Local Bitcoins found that transactions made in Colombian pesos spiked 1,200% in 2017. Evidence suggests that demand for crypto in Colombia is at least partially driven by expatriates from neighboring Venezuela. In fact, as previously reported, a cottage industry of crypto exchanges and ATMs has sprouted, providing services for Venezuelans to exchange their hyperinflated currency and send remittances back home. The newly added ATMs will be placed in shopping centers and other public spots. The machines will allow users to withdraw or deposit cryptocurrencies. Paxful did not respond to a request for comment by Presstime. Paxful's manager for Latin America, Magdiela Rivas, said the partnering firms are also working to place 25 new cryptocurrency ATMs in Peru. Mark Mobius argues Bitcoin should be backed by gold to have any value. Famous emerging markets investor Mark Mobius believes that Bitcoin, BTC, needs to be backed by gold to have any value. Crypto and blockchain are very risky situations. Mobius, founder at Frontier Markets asset manager Mobius Capital Partners, expressed concerns over risks associated with cryptocurrencies and blockchain tech in an interview on Squawk Box on September 5. When CNBC's crypto activist Joe Kernan asked whether Mobius believes that Bitcoin has inherent value, the famed investor avoided answering the question directly, claiming that the world really needs a cryptocurrency that would be backed by gold. Mobius said, "If there is a cryptocurrency that is really backed by gold and that is, there is a meaningful agreement and some kind of modern thing of this connection, then this could be quite interesting. Anything created by humans can be broken into." Kernan noted that there is no fiat currency that is backed by gold, raising the question why any crypto needs to have the same backing. Mobius conceded that the key point in the issue is the question of faith. Mobius elaborated that there is a whole generation of people who have faith in the internet as well as cryptocurrencies, and that's all it takes. The reason why people believe in the US dollar is because they have faith that with dollars in their hands, they can buy something. So there's a degree to which if cryptocurrency can enable you to buy something and you believe that to be the case, that's fine. While reiterating his recent statements that it is a matter of faith whether people believe in Bitcoin or any other crypto, the veteran investor still emphasized concerns over the industry, arguing that people will soon begin to realize that cryptocurrencies are very risky. Moreover, blockchain technology also poses a significant risk, Mobius noted, stating that blockchain can be broken into just as every technology created by humans, despite a blockchain's function of immutability. On August 20, Mobius suggested that cryptocurrencies have the potential to boost the price of gold, predicting that the rise of faith in Bitcoin and other cyber currencies will trigger a demand for a real, hard asset such as gold. Binance Labs leads $5.7 million Series A for blockchain maker DAPIX. Denver-based startup DAPIX Inc. has raised $5.7 million in a Series A funding round led by Binance Labs, the company announced Thursday. Launched in 2018, DAPIX is building a delegated proof-of-stake (DPoS) blockchain to act as the connective tissue between cryptocurrency wallets, exchanges and other applications. The goal is to establish an industry standard across all blockchain platforms for sending and receiving payments in crypto. The FIO protocol is the service layer to the entire blockchain ecosystem, said David Gold, founder and CEO of DAPIX. The goal is to do for blockchain what HTTP did for the internet. So far, 24 different blockchain wallet applications have joined the nonprofit arm of this initiative, which is known as the Foundation for Interwallet Operability (FIO) Consortium. In February, Binance's Trust Wallet joined the FIO Consortium, which already includes non-custodial crypto exchange Shapeshift, Ethereum Wallet application MyCrypto and the official Bitcoin.com wallet. Speaking about the joint effort, Binance Labs spokesperson Kathy Zhu said, "We invested in the decentralized FIO protocol because we believe that it has the ability to be the usability layer for the entire blockchain ecosystem. As a start, the FIO protocol will work immediately across every blockchain. Over time, Binance envisions the open-source FIO protocol becoming a usability standard that every blockchain-related product integrates." Joining Binance Labs in the Series A round are crypto investment firms Blockwall Capital, NGC Ventures and Lunex Ventures. DAPIX Gold highlighted the FIO protocol as targeted for mainnet launch in the first quarter of next year. For now, DAPIX and the 24 members of the FIO consortium are testing out aspects of the protocol with the FIO address presale. FIO addresses are meant to simplify the complex wallet addresses normally used to send and receive cryptocurrency payments. Unlike most other tools to simplify wallet addresses, the FIO protocol aims to standardize addresses across all blockchain platforms and applications. "Our primary goal with the FIO address presale is not to generate the most income possible, it's to generate engagement with the FIO protocol," Gold said, adding, "We want to get as many people to reserve a FIO domain in advance so they're ready to use it with their FIO-enabled wallet as soon as mainnet goes live." U.S. Energy Department funds trial of Factum blockchain to secure power grid. Factum, one of the earliest companies to pitch blockchains to enterprises, is participating in a U.S. government-funded trial of the technology to protect the national power grid. Announced Thursday, TFA Labs, an Internet of Things (IoT) security startup, is experimenting with Factum's protocol to validate that devices on the grid aren't infected with malware. Backed by a nearly $200,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Energy (DOE), the project aims to improve the security of millions of such devices. In some cases, TFA Labs is looking at storing raw data, such as the health and status of devices, on the Factum blockchain. In other cases, the company wants to assign a digital identity to the firmware, or permanent software installed on devices. If the files are manipulated, they'll produce a cryptographic hash that does not match the digital identity, indicating something is amiss. "We can store raw data or data hashes of the data," Dennis Bunfield, CEO of TFA Labs, told CoinDesk. "It's ideal for IoT device use." The first phase will last until March, when TFA aims to have a prototype for the use case. If the experiment gets to phase two, TFA Labs will collaborate with device manufacturers and could get close to $1 million in funding from the DOE. Factotum. Factum is separately working with the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, to record camera and sensor data on the blockchain and with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to see if the tech can digitize records of individuals who live in remote parts of the world. Enterprise users can develop on the startup's protocol using familiar coding languages, said Greg Forst, marketing chair for Factum Protocol. We're data-centric and enterprise-grade, whether that's a government or startup or anybody in between, Forst said. Founded in 2014, the Austin, Texas-based company conducted one of the earliest token offerings, raising $1.1 million in 2015 by selling factoids. However, you don't need the factoid token to use the protocol, Bunfield said. So you never need to touch crypto to use the protocol, making this ideal for use by governments and corporate enterprises. Subsequent seed and Series A rounds brought in over $8 million to Factum. An early project recording land titles in Honduras stalled. Factum later introduced a product for the mortgage industry. In July of this year, a nonprofit called the Trial Foundation announced that it was running a clinical trial over Factum. Paxos launches gold-backed cryptocurrency. Many Bitcoiners are former gold bugs who believe in hard money, so one crypto company is hoping digitized gold will attract more traders. Paxos, the New York-based exchange and stablecoin issuer, just launched a gold-backed crypto asset called Pax Gold, PAXG, with each Ethereum-based token encapsulating the legal title to a physical bar of gold stored in the Brinks London vault. Pax Gold has been approved by the New York Department of Financial Services. It's not a representation of the commodity, it's actual legal title to it, Paxos CEO Chad Cascarilla told CoinDesk. This is the exact point of the blockchain, the exact premise, that you can now make assets easily movable and divisible and not be tied to a manual, physical process. Each token costs the same as an ounce of gold and can be redeemed for a physical bar at partnering institutions such as bullion exchanges in New York. Cascarilla said Paxos will expand its list of global partners from the traditional commodities industry to ensure users can claim real gold even if they're not in London or New York. Plus, the crypto loan startup Salt now offers PAXG-backed loans as well, available in fiat or stablecoins such as PAX, TrueUSD or USDC. We're going to do more products like this where we are taking real-world assets and putting them on the blockchain, Cascarilla said. Still, it remains to be seen whether tokenized gold will appeal to crypto enthusiasts. Messari co-founder Dan McArdle told CoinDesk that assets issued by and custodied with centralized entities don't rival Bitcoin's role as digital gold. Bitcoin achieves all of gold's relevant properties, plus a lot more, and is just better gold for the modern era, McArdle said. Bitcoin achieves its properties precisely because it has no centralized or federated anchors to the physical world. You simply can't get the trustless, uncensorable properties of Bitcoin if some relatively small set of people, entities has to manage physical objects represented on a blockchain. Product market fit. Paxos will need to find an audience of gold traders who are interested in crypto beyond Bitcoin, as traditionalists on both sides are wary of tokens. Bitcoin skeptics like Roy Sebag, founder of the precious metals custodian Goldmoney, don't believe a self-custodied, relatively fungible cryptocurrency would bring new and compliant use cases to the broader gold market. It still requires a know-your-customer process. There's zero value being added in terms of a decentralized blockchain, Sebag said. A closed system that is permissioned would be fine. We've already been doing that for 5 years. Indeed, the World Gold Council estimated gold-backed financial products like exchange-traded funds accounted for nearly $100 billion of the global market holdings in 2018. Paxos commodities trading platform, Post-Trade, secured a chunk of that pie by processing precious metal trades since July 2018. Now, with Pax Gold, retail investors will be able to participate in a broader range of digital gold trades beyond institutional platforms. We're acting at that gateway, as a trusted holder of the assets, but also has trusted verifier of participants, Cascarilla said. Just like our Pax stablecoin, it's audited. For traders who might want to buy gold on the go and then pick it up in another location, Cascarilla believes Pax Gold could offer a regulated alternative to physical ownership. You can own that gold, but you don't have to pay a custody fee, and you can send it around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he said. This is a groundbreaking product in the history of gold. A Bitcoin treasure hunt is coming to college campuses this fall. The buzzy scavenger hunt for $1 million worth of Bitcoin, Satoshi's treasure, is coming this fall to nearly 24 college campuses worldwide. The game is operated by a small, mysterious company based on a tropical island. Figuring out more about the game itself is part of the appeal and is sponsored by Primitive Ventures and other prominent investors. Eventually, there will be hundreds of cryptographic keys around the world, shrouded in puzzles and riddles, and the first team to compile 400 of the key fragments will be able to claim the prize. According to game co-creator Eric Meltzer, over 100,000 people are now on the email list for updates and announcements related to such clues, 40 of which have been released so far. Now BlockVenture Coalition partners Tyler Welliner and Philip Forte are kicking off a North American campus tour with 20 universities, hosting educational meetups and mini-hunts to help students join the game. A lot of these students want to learn about blockchain and crypto, but their universities haven't caught up to them yet, Welliner told CoinDesk. We're looking to provide resources for a lot of these different student groups. There will be smaller rewards associated with campus scavenger hunts and self-custody workshops starting mid-September, although organizers are still working out the details. IDEX CEO Alex Wiern told CoinDesk his exchange will also sponsor some campus workshops focused on Bitcoin wallets and decentralized exchanges. Jonathan Kalso, head of the blockchain group at the University of Michigan, told CoinDesk these sponsored meetups benefit the student body by bringing hands-on learning opportunities to campus and giving student clubs like his more credibility among faculty. His college is one of the many Welliner referred to those that lack courses and official resources related to Bitcoin. This helps us get more visibility from the engineering department, economics and computer science departments as well, Kalso said, adding, the clues incentivize you to discover new websites and tools to play around with a Bitcoin wallet a bit, to see what the technology can do. Global Networks meanwhile, Satoshi's Treasure co-founder Jessica Wang told CoinDesk she's helping student groups at several universities in China and Australia get involved with the fall semester campaign, including Shandong University. Students are the future of this industry, so we're going to put small prizes, like one Bitcoin, into this game to attract more students, she said. We're going to hide more physical location puzzles globally. Wang said that, according to Google Analytics data from the game's main website, so far roughly 60% of traffic comes from the United States and Canada, followed by Russia, France and Indonesia. As such, these custody-focused seminars in North America will also aim to connect students around the world. We're going to have one key piece at a university in Asia and another in a university in the US, so they're going to need to network with each other, Wang said. Thanks to a small grant from the Tezos Foundation, Satoshi's Treasure organizers will also hire cryptography experts at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, plus external foundations, to keep up with demand for more keys by ramping up the puzzle-making process. Top cryptography foundations and teams will create more puzzles on their end, Wang said. We want the ecosystem to bring more stakeholders into the game. Eugene Leventhal, former head of Carnegie Mellon University's Blockchain Club and a current member of the university's SciLab Security and Privacy Institute, told CoinDesk these seminars and campus scavenger hunts could also help engage a wider range of students. CMU blockchain group events typically attracted around 30 students each in 2018, with the highest turnout being roughly 80 students. For the humanities side, we hope something like this will be a way to get more students involved, Leventhal said, adding, I am interested in maximizing the activities and touchpoints for students, so they can get involved. Bitcoin market turns indecisive after price rally stalls around $10,600. View. Bitcoin created a spinning top candle on Wednesday, pouring cold water over the optimism generated by the triangle breakout witnessed earlier this week. The spinning top has made today's UTC close pivotal. A close above Wednesday's high of $10,834 is needed for the continuation of the recent rally. AUTC close below the spinning top's low of $10,378 would shift risk in favor of deeper losses below $10,000. A bearish daily close should DNT be ruled out, as the spinning top represents buyer exhaustion. The Bitcoin, BTC, market is looking indecisive, after witnessing a solid two-way business in the last 24 hours. Today's UTC close will likely determine the next move. The top cryptocurrency by market value picked up a bit at lows below $10,400 around 1345 Coordinated Universal Time on Wednesday and rose above $10,800 at 2000 Coordinated Universal Time, according to Bitstamp data. Tuesday's high-volume move had set the tone for a test of the bearish lower high of $10,956, as discussed yesterday. The bullish move, however, ran out of steam at a 15-day high of $10,834 in the U.S. trading hours yesterday, and prices fell back at the UTC close at $10,586, down just 30% on the day. Essentially, BTC created a spinning top candle on Wednesday, which comprises of a small body, representing marginal gains or losses on the day, and long wicks, representing two-way price action. The spinning top is widely considered a sign of indecision in the marketplace, with neither bulls nor bears being in a commanding position. In such situations, experienced traders often wait on the sidelines till a strong directional move emerges. So far, BTC has not shown any signs of directional strength. The cryptocurrency is consolidating around $10,600 on Bitstamp. The spinning top candle has taken the shine off the triangle breakout witnessed earlier this week and has made today's UTC close pivotal. A close above the candle's high of $10,834 would imply a continuation of the rally from the recent low of $9,320. A more reliable indicator of bullish revival would be a UTC close above the lower high of $10,956 created on August 20. A bullish close above $10,956, if confirmed, would open the doors to $12,000. Meanwhile, a close below the spinning top's low of $10,378 would indicate that the rally from the recent low of $9,320 has ended and the bears have regained control. That could yield a sell-off back to $9,755 August 22 low. With the moving average convergence divergence MACD histogram reporting bullish conditions and above 50 reading, observers may feel tempted to predict a bullish daily close. However, it may be foolish to rule out a bearish close, as the spinning top candle has appeared following a $1,500 rally, and the indecision predominantly represents bullish exhaustion. If the bulls were strong, the spinning top would not have appeared. Hence, a correction could be around the corner. BTC is also looking heavy on the intraday charts. BTC has found acceptance below the bullish trendline, having faced rejection around $10,800 twice in the last 48 hours. More importantly, a falling channel breakout seen yesterday failed to accelerate the preceding bullish move, a sign of bullish exhaustion. The 50-hour moving average is also beginning to top out, shed bullish bias. As a result, a pullback to the 100-hour MA, currently at $10,247, cannot be ruled out. Disclosure: the author holds no cryptocurrency assets at the time of writing. VanBex sells IP amid criminal probe into $22 million ICO. VanBex, a Canadian blockchain company mired in a criminal investigation and several lawsuits, has sold its intellectual property to Toronto-based crypto brokerage Hyperion for an undisclosed price. This acquisition allows the value of the products and the business models they represent to continue under Hyperion's banner, Lisa Cheng, co-founder of VanBex, said in a press release issued Wednesday. Acquiring VanBex tokenization and tax products was a strategic move, enabling us to focus on a larger market share, said Michael Zavitt, CEO of Hyperion, in the release. The Fuel token, which VanBex issued in the initial coin offering ICO at the center of the investigation, will still be used to pay for transaction fees, API integrations, and services provided in the digital asset ecosystem between Hyperion and the VanBex blockchain technology products, VanBex stated. The announcement didn't seem to fully assure some investors in VanBeck's Telegram group, who asked CEO Kevin Hobbs about the token's fate. One said he was hoping there is something legally binding in the agreement requiring Hyperion to continue accepting fuel. Neither VanBeck's nor Hyperion responded to requests for comment. VanBeck's will now operate as a blockchain consulting company with a focus on supporting Hyperion's growth from its offices in Vancouver, the release said. Moving out. VanBeck's disclosed that it was in talks to sell its assets months ago. A corporate update posted on VanBeck's website June 25 said the company planned to move its tech products to a new company, removing all the negativity surrounding VanBeck's and its founders. According to the post, Chang would become CEO of the new company, and Hobbs would stay with VanBeck's and its consulting arm to keep fighting for its reputation. In an Ask Me Anything AMA session that day with fuel token holders on Telegram, Hobbs clarified that the new company was an existing firm negotiating to buy the IP. It is unclear whether that entity was Hyperion or another party, and this week's announcement says nothing about Chang joining the acquirer. The investigation. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police (RCMP) began investigating VanBeck's in May 2018. Soon after, the Canadian Revenue Agency began a tax probe. Canadian authorities froze the bank accounts of Hobbs and Chang and seized their property in March of this year. The Director of Civil Forfeitures claimed VanBeck's founders misappropriated the $22 million raised in the 2017 ICO and failed to deliver the product promised to investors. VanBeck's founders denied all the allegations, saying no evidence has been provided to the court to support them. However, some evidence soon surfaced. According to records presented by RCMP, Etherparty, one of the companies Hobbs and Chang operated, received its first ICO pre-sale contribution reported to Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Centre of Canada (FINTRAC) on August 17, 2017. Then, from August 21 to December 4, Etherparty and Hobbs received 9 transactions worth over $5.5 million from over-the-counter (OTC) trading desk Cumberland. On December 7, Hobbs withdrew over $4.1 million from his personal accounts at Cumberland, the document says, and on the next day, Hobbs and Chang purchased a condominium for that same amount in cash. According to a July 19 ruling by Supreme Court of British Columbia Judge Elliot M. Myers, the investigators demonstrated that Hobbs and Chang sold $5.5 million worth of Bitcoin right before going on a spending spree. Not buying it. VanBeck's argued in a court filing that the Director of Civil Forfeitures hadn't proved Hobbs and Chang's wealth boost was a result of the ICO, rather, it could be Hobbs' gambling winnings. Hobbs recorded nearly $60,000 per month in winnings from casinos alone, the document states. However, the police were not convinced, according to Judge Myers. The RCMP investigator deposes that Mr. Hobbs apparently had no substantial wealth or assets prior to the ICO. As of September 29, 2017, Mr. Hobbs had only CDN $15,122.99 in his personal bank accounts. Ms. Chang does not appear to have any active personal Canadian bank accounts. Mr. Hobbs lives in a residence owned by Ms. Chang's parents. Neither was the judge, who added, Mr. Hobbs' winnings can in no way explain the amount of the property purchased by him and Chang. The court left VanBeck's founder's property under arrest. The investigation is ongoing. Investor lawsuit. In the meantime, the company was hit by a new legal challenge. Two investors filed a lawsuit to the Supreme Court of British Columbia, saying Hobbs and Chang violated Canada's securities law by failing to register their ICO as a security offering, and that they misled investors about the state of their business. Plaintiffs Andrew Beck and Craig Peterson claim they purchased $30,000 worth of fuel each and now can't sell the tokens, which fell considerably in price. Hobbs told CoinDesk the lawsuit is another attempt to blackmail the company, blaming a former employee, Kip Warner, who reported VanBeck's to the Canadian police. VanBeck's is now suing Warner for defamation. I got suspicious. For his part, Warner said he had trouble getting paid for his work at VanBeck's and was surprised by the firm's focus on marketing rather than development. There were no actual engineers, everybody was doing marketing stuff, so I got suspicious, he told CoinDesk. After quitting VanBex, Warner shared the information with his friend at the Canadian police. Then the police started investigating VanBex independently on their accord, Warner said, but Hobbs figured out who started the fire. He sued me because he believes I am the genesis for his downfall, Warner said. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.